invite you to be finding Acts chapter 18 in your Bible this morning. Acts chapter 18. We'll be looking at verses 24 through 28. Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 24, the Bible reads this way. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. A man got his paycheck one Friday and he looked at it, noticed that there was an error. He'd been paid too much. He took that check and put it in his pocket and went on about his way. But the next Friday came, the man got his check and he noticed another error. This time he wasn't paid too much. He was paid too little. So he marched himself right to the accounting department and talked to the payroll manager and said, "Hey, there's an error on my check. You didn't pay me enough." The payroll manager got to looking on the computer and he saw not one error, but both errors. And he said to the man, "Well, how come when we make an error in your favor and pay you too much, you didn't say anything, but we pay you too little and you come and you point that out?" The man said, "Well, I can overlook one error, but when it happens two times in a row..." How do we deal with error? When we encounter religious error, or in a broader sense, when we encounter relational error, we see people make mistakes, how should we handle it? If we encounter a preacher or a teacher who is off on basic doctrine, how should we approach that? If we have a child or children and they are making wrong decisions, how should we approach that? If our spouse is making wrong decisions and it's hurting us and it's hurting our relationship and it's hurting our marriage, how should we handle that? If a coworker is making errors and it's hurting productivity and it's hurting morale in the workplace, how should we approach that coworker? We have a really good example of how to do that right here in this text. This text lays out some basic principles for both getting and giving correction. Apollos is a wonderful example of how to get or receive correction. Aquila and Priscilla, they give a great example of how to give correction. Let's notice those two things this morning. First of all, how to get correction. Mike Grady was a professional baseball player back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. He liked to tell about the worst play in his professional baseball career. He was playing third base, and there was a routine ground ball hit to him. But he fumbled the ball and messed around with it long enough that the runner was going to be safe at first. But in a desperate effort to get the runner out, he fired the ball over to first base and it went over the first baseman's head, therefore giving the runner second base. The first baseman tracked the ball down and looked up and saw that the runner was breaking for third base. So the first baseman threw to Mike Grady, who's now at third base. The runner would have been out, except Grady drops the ball, lets it get by him, the runner's safe at third. The runner breaks for home. Grady tracks the ball down and fires home and overthrows the catcher for his fourth error on one play. Now, maybe not to that extent, but you are not perfect. And you are going to make some errors. When somebody points out your error, when they point out your mistake, how can you deal with it well? How can you deal with it biblically? How can you deal with it so that you're going to grow from the experience? There are three words that I want to point out that helped Apollos get corrected successfully. The first word is humble. Humble. When he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, when Priscilla and Aquila, this is verse 26, heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Now, the text tells us that Apollos was a wonderful preacher, classically trained in the university city of Alexandria, Egypt, an eloquent speaker, a powerful speaker. But he is going to speak this particular time, and a husband and wife are there with him, and they say, "Hey, Apollos, come home with us and have lunch." And so he goes, and they're having lunch, and the conversation gradually goes toward Apollos preaching, and they begin to criticize him. They begin to say, "Apollos, you're off on something." And could you imagine this eloquent man swelling up and saying, "Who are you to criticize me? I am classically trained. I know the Old Testament inside and out, front and back. Have you not seen the audience when I speak? Have you not noticed me holding them in the palm of my hand? Have you not heard the compliments that I get after the service? Could you do it any better? You're going to have the audacity to criticize me." But to his credit, that's not how Apollos handled this. So far as we can tell, he was humble enough to accept this correction. Many people are too proud to receive correction. Someone has said pride is the only disease that makes everybody sick except the person who has it. And if I'm too proud to listen when I am wrong and to hear it and to look at it, I'm going to make a lot of people around me feel very, very sick of me. Some people would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. But not Apollos. He was humble, and we should be when we receive correction. Number two, he was honest. He was honest. Priscilla and Aquila explained the problem with Apollos' preaching and teaching. He was wrong about Christian baptism. He was preaching and teaching error. Somehow Apollos knew the Old Testament well, and he knew about the church. It's called the Way in this text, but he had not heard about the baptism of Jesus for whatever reason. He knew only the baptism of John the Baptist. And so when he's corrected here, Apollos takes a look at what he had been teaching. And he realizes that the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus are different. Jesus' baptism is for salvation. John's was just for repentance. Jesus' baptism is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John's was not. Jesus' baptism included being added to the New Testament church. John's didn't. Jesus' baptism brought the Holy Spirit living inside of the believer at the point of baptism. John's did not. And so Apollos is humble enough and honest enough to examine his teaching and say, "You know what? I have been wrong, and I'm going to have to change." How do you receive correction? When you get correction, take an honest look at it and see if it is merited, see if it is warranted, see if it is true, and look at your life humbly and ask, "Do I need to make a change here?" I've told some of you about early in my preaching career getting criticized for using illustrations or stories in the sermon. I was early 20s. And speaking in a meeting at the New Bethel Church. and had to use some illustrations like it was my habit to do. And a fellow really got into me out in the parking lot. And he was a preacher, of course, been doing it a long time. And he said, "Son, when you are up there telling those stories, I'd just as soon hear the crickets hollering out here as to hear you." He said, "Man, when I preach, I got a verse, and then I got a verse, and I go another verse, and I'm just quoting scripture on and on and on, and that is preaching. What you're doing is not preaching." I took an honest look at that. I actually got home, and I looked at my notes, and I said, "Well, okay, well, we've got a scripture, and I had main points all from the scripture, and I had them supported from scripture. And then I used those stories to back up the points or open up a window of understanding to those points." And then I thought about how Jesus taught, and the Bible says he taught in parables, and a parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I talked to my mentor, Paul Rogers, and a few other people, and I came to the conclusion that that was not a correction that I had to accept and make a change regarding. I decided I was okay as long as you don't overdo it. I was okay by using stories or illustrations in my sermons. So we take an honest look and we say, yes, I need to change, or I listened, I looked, and no, I don't need to change. And then number three, how to get correction. Apollos was humble, and he was honest, and he was what I call hardy. Now, not the restaurant, but hardy means that you can handle a difficult situation and keep going, that you're strong during difficulty, and Apollos was. Notice verse 27. After Priscilla and Aquila had taken him aside and corrected him, what did he do next? Apollos wanted to go to Achaia. The brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. He vigorously refuted Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He didn't let this criticism stop him. He didn't say, "Well, nobody appreciates what I'm doing here. I'm taking my toys and I'm going home." I like what Rodney says often in his preaching. You can tell the size of a Christian by what it takes to stop them. He was serious. He was committed as a Christian, and he wasn't going to let correction stop him from doing what God had enabled him to do. So when it's time for you to get corrected, do it humbly and do it honestly and have a hardiness about you that keeps going even in the face of correction and even criticism. And now let's look at point number two, how to give correction. How to give correction. How to have that difficult conversation with someone when you see that they're in error, they're wrong about something. Someone has said, before you criticize a person, walk a mile in his shoes. And that way, when he hears the criticism, you'll be a mile away and you'll have his shoes. No, that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is the way Aquila and Priscilla, this husband and wife Christian team, did it. Let's notice a few things about how they approached Apollos when they found that he was in error. Number one, be discerning. Be discerning. They said, "Hey, Apollos, you're off on your teaching concerning baptism." They knew enough about Christianity to know that what they were hearing was wrong. They were discerning when it came to this, when it came to the scriptures, what they had at least at that time, because they knew what the scriptures contained. Folks, biblical illiteracy is a problem. There was a woman teaching a Sunday school class to some kids and talking about the wall of Jericho. And she said, "Now, who knocked down the wall of Jericho?" A little boy raised his hand and said, "It wasn't me, ma'am." And then she continued to ask the question, and all around the room there, kids were denying that they walked down the wall, that they knocked down the walls of Jericho. The teacher was so distraught about this lack of biblical knowledge that she went to the elders and she said, "Hey, here's what happened." And the elders said, "Now, ma'am, we know all those kids. We know their parents. We know how they've been raised. We believe them." Well, she went to the preacher. And she told him what had happened. The preacher said, let's not make a big deal out of this. Let's just fix the walls and charge it to the maintenance fund. Now, in order to deal with error, we got to know error when we see it. To deal with error, we got to pay attention enough to people's lives and get involved with them enough to know when they're wrong in a way that's going to hurt them. And so we're discerning. Number two, when you give correction, be deliberate. Priscilla and Aquila thought it over. They realized that this issue about the wrong baptism was a big deal. This was an essential issue to Christian doctrine, and it needed to be addressed. And so they decided to address it. Not every error that you see is worth addressing. You don't have to point out everything that somebody does wrong, not if it's minor or insignificant. A couple was having their 50th wedding anniversary, and the wife was asked how in the world she had stayed with her husband for so long. She said, well, on my wedding day, I made a list of 10 faults in my husband that I would overlook for the sake of our marriage. And over these last 50 years, every time he does something that gets me just hopping mad, I'll say, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. You know, some things we just overlook. But this was a matter so significant that it had to be addressed. I like what Ruth Graham said about her husband, Billy, the preacher. And she said, it's my job to love Billy. It's God's job to make him good. She wasn't going to try to correct every little fault in the man. And I like that. Be deliberate. Number three, be direct. When Aquila and Priscilla realized that there was a problem with Apollos' teaching, they didn't go to others. They didn't go around the community and talk about him and spread this around and try to get some support to their side of the situation, try to get people to take sides. They went to him. When Priscilla and Aquila, verse 26, heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him where he needed correcting. Jesus makes it clear that we are to do that. In Matthew 5 and in Matthew 18, Jesus says, look, if you got a problem with a person, whether you caused it or they caused it, it's your job as a Christian to go first to them. Go directly. Some of you have heard me talk about the young man who fell in love with a woman across town. He was shy and timid, and he didn't go see her, but he sent her these love letters. And I mean, he wrote a love letter every day, and every day that the mail ran, this woman got a love letter from this boy across town. You know how it ended up, don't you? She married the mailman. There's just nothing like a face-to-face meeting so that we can look at them, so that we can see their reaction, so that they can see our reaction, so that we can hear the subtleties in their voice, so that we can ask questions if we need to ask questions about the concern that is being addressed. Be direct. Number three, be discreet. That's number four, I think, actually. Be discreet. How to give correction. Be discreet. Notice in verse 26, again, they invited Apollos to their home and explained to him the way of God more privately. Notice that they did not shout him down during the message. Notice that they did not call him out publicly. Notice that they did not cause a scene back in the vestibule after the worship service was over. Notice that they were discreet. You want to take a bad situation and make it worse? Correct your child publicly and loudly. If you want to see some resistance and hear some back talk, correct your child publicly and loudly. If you want to take a bad situation and make it worse, correct your spouse publicly and loudly, or your coworker, or your preacher. It tends to put people on the defensive. They tend not to be ready to hear your criticism. They tend to come back at you trying to defend themselves, and it turns into a very ugly situation. Being discreet the way Aquila and Priscilla did is so much better. Take them aside privately and quietly and share your concerns. And then finally, how do you give correction? You're discerning, you're deliberate, you're direct, you're discreet, and finally, you're diplomatic. Notice that at the end of verse 26, they explain to him the way of God more adequately. More adequately. In other words, they gave him credit for being somewhat adequate. They gave him credit for the things that he was getting right. They realized that he had a great knowledge and there was a lot of good going on. There was just this one thing where he was off. They were diplomatic in how they did this. Diplomacy, of course, has fallen on hard times. We wish our politicians would practice more diplomacy. Someone said recently, diplomacy is saying nice, doggy, while you reach for a stick. And that's kind of how it goes these days. But Aquila and Priscilla were diplomatic. They gave him credit for where he was right. They gave him the benefit of the doubt. They did not judge his motives. They did not assume that he was trying to be wrong here. In order to correct someone, I must first build up an emotional bank account with them by making deposits of positivity and praise. And then after I have built up an emotional bank account, then I can make a withdrawal with the criticism or correction, and they're ready to hear it. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla did here with Apollos. Years ago, there was a young lawyer who liked, frankly, to publicly attack people who had differences in legal issues, differences in political matters. He wrote scathing letters to the editor rather than going directly to these people. There came a point in this young lawyer's life when he attacked publicly the wrong person. He attacked a political and legal enemy, James Shields. And James Shields went to him and challenged him to a duel to the death. Well, this young lawyer was a lover, not a fighter. But there was no way to escape this challenge and still hold on to his honor, so he had to accept it. He chose to duel by swords to the death, and he got a sword, and he started practicing how to use it. He didn't really want to do it, but no way around it. Came time for the duel, and the two men met on the shore of the Mississippi River on a sandbar, and they stood holding their swords, and just as they were about to come to blows, friends from both of the men stopped them and talked them out of it. And they put the swords down and they did not have the duel. But that instance changed this young lawyer. He decided that he was going to go about being critical differently. In fact, when he was much older, he heard his wife criticize Southerners based on their stance in the Civil War. And then President Abraham Lincoln said to his wife, "Don't criticize them. They are just what we would be under similar circumstances." He had a critical spirit that attacked people in public ways, and he learned different. And it made him a very effective leader for our nation and for our world. How do you give correction? You do it diplomatically as much as possible. If you have made a mess of your life, there's only one way to really correct it. And that's through Jesus. Someone has said that the cross is the great eraser. And the only way to erase the mistakes and the sins in your life is by coming to the cross, by coming to the man who hung on the cross, Jesus, and by saying, "I believe in you. And I need you as my Savior, and I want you as my Savior, and I turn from these sins. I don't want to live that way anymore." And I will show the faith that I have by getting in the waters of baptism and letting you, Jesus, erase my sins in those waters. If you're ready to say that and do that this morning, come right now and let us know as together we stand and sing.